Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Tuesday, December 11th, 2018. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. 2 days in a row.
2 days in a row, you're fine? Wow. Now, being female, have you been in a good mood 2 days in a row? That's a better question.
2 days in a row with you.
Oh, wow. Well, I can understand that. That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. You know that, right?
Ha, ha. It does. It does. Ha.
If you don't beat me, ask Marcia.
Hey, today we have gold. We're going to get started right away. We have a lot of things to talk about today. Gold was down $1.30 today at $1,243.50. Futures contracts, I'll have to look it up here in a little bit, I think showed $1,250 earlier in the day. Silver was up 3 cents today at $1,463, with platinum up $1 at $789. Palladium was up 18 at $1,248. The USDX today is... This screen just drives me nuts. The dollar was up 0.31 at 97.48, along with crude oil was also up 0.72 at $51.72. And the paper markets today were kind of all over the page. A lot of interesting things going on today. The Dow was down 52 points. At 24,370, the NASDAQ was up 11, 7,031, and the S&P basically unchanged at 26.36, 10-year yield 2.88%. That's pretty much, it wasn't a quiet day in trading, but the stocks sort of were all over the page, particularly after the... moment with Trump, Pelosi, and Schumer. I don't know if you had a chance. Did you watch that at all?
No, I didn't watch it. I read about it.
You know, it's going to be a real interesting 2019, ladies and gentlemen. So you better buckle up and get your gold and silver. But do you have any comments you want to say about what
you
read
about?
Well,
if you don't mind, I would just, Trump has said he's going to get the wall if he has to shut down the government to do it. And so he's talking about having the military build it. And from what I can read, it led to a kind of a shouting match there. And I wonder, I really wonder, do you think Trump is really going to seriously, on the 21st, say, hey, no more, we're not going to fund anymore the government until we'll get this wall one way or the other? I mean, some of the Republicans that were not necessarily for it are starting to flinch a little bit now with this. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know, but he said if we don't get what we want one way or the other, whether it's through you, through military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government. I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. That's pretty tough talk. And, that kind of talking but come back into a corner where you really can't back down.
And it also can come back to bite them, too.
It can. If he doesn't follow through, it certainly will.
Yep.
So far, back before the election, he put troops on the border. He's going to really crack down on it. As soon as the election's over, he realized he lost a bunch of seats. That kind of dropped and went away. So that makes you wonder if he's just blustering again. He certainly didn't follow through too much with the troops in the border, and some of the people are coming across. They're trickling across right now. I know people want to hear that, but they're trickling across. Some of them are sneaking in. Some are coming across. So I don't know, Melanie. I mean, he said it. He sounded like he meant it. From what I read, he sounded like he's taking a tough stance on this. But I guess we'll know real soon. The 21st is not that far away.
Well, the thing of it is, would the spending bill have been passed anyway on the 21st? Maybe they're having some issues with that to begin with. And, you know, maybe this is just a way to blame the Democrats for shutting down the government because they didn't go with his, you know, with his, you know, with his wall. So I'm really not sure. I mean, that's a big deal in the 21st. So are there other issues going on behind the scenes?
There's so much stuff, I think, going on that it would take us a whole day of programming just to cover half of it that we don't even know about right now. But in all sincerity, this may sound callous, but if they shut down the national parks and everything again, I think we'd all survive for a while. You know, it doesn't really bother me to shut down the government. That's just more or less money out of our pocket. If they shut down Congress about a year, it tickled me to death.
I hear you.
But so shutting down the government don't scare me at all. Shut her down.
No, shut it down. But do you use that as leverage?
Well, apparently he is.
Yeah.
You know, and
but
I,
is
I
that a good not, tactic? But we'll find out in, you know, 10 days.
And in a couple of weeks, we'll know for sure.
Yes.
But you know, but he's no one is scared really. The bureaucrats. The bureaucrats scared Dick. I mean, a lot of their jobs have been gone. So I don't know, Mel. That's a good question. I think this time he's either got to put up or shut up. And if he backs down on this one, I think Trump is finished. I really do. I think he might be finished anyway, but I think he's definitely finished. He backs down. He backed down on the wall with the military. That didn't go very well. People that once supported him. If he backs down on this, I think he's pretty much shot himself in the foot, or actually in the head. It's over with.
Well, you know what's funny? Building this wall has just become so symbolic. And you know, it no longer is to me. It's more of a point. It's symbolic. It has to be done. So, again, I have to say it's back to the, you know, the immigration. Half those drugs are driven across the border. They're really not packed over the wall and walked across and so forth. They're flown in. They're driven in.
Oh, they're,
you know,
underground,
on the semi.
Everything else.
Yeah, well, I mean, they have tunnels and so forth,
sure,
but a lot of it is driven in.
I don't think it's much either drug building. It's just illegal immigration coming across just like they own the place and demanding everything they want and getting it.
Well, that's true for immigration, but he's also tying the wall with drugs.
Yes, he is. I agree, and he's right on that. He's right on that.
Most of your drugs are driven through.
I have no doubt that's true. So I don't know the answer to this, but I do know this, that I don't think we even need a wall. If we would tighten up security in the border and do what we should do with our troops should not be scattered all over the world. They should be here protecting our own nation. And we don't need a standing army to do that, by the way, folks. That's not even constitutional. But nonetheless, if they put the troops on the border, they don't need a wall. Rotate them out every 6 months or a year. They don't need a wall. That is not necessary. But you're right. It's a symbol now of Trump's campaign. It's a symbol.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And you know what? If Jared Kushner is so well loved by the Mexican leaders that he gets the highest Medal of Honor that Mexico will give any foreign person, you'd think he'd be able to negotiate something a little bit to keep, you know, the people from traveling through Mexico and so forth, you know?
And you mentioned a medal. What did he do during that?
I guess it was in relationship to NAFTA. It was a private ceremony. I believe him, I think he went, Pence even went.
Yeah.
And my question is, I was watching this discussion between President Trump and Schumer and Pelosi, and Pence was sitting next to Trump.
Yes.
He didn't say squat. He sat there and his head just went back and forth like he was watching a tennis match. He didn't flinch. He didn't, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen such a poker face in all my life. He didn't move. And I'm thinking, what was the point of his presence? I mean, he doesn't do much anyway. He's, I don't know, it's just, and I used to like Pence, but...
But there's a lot of things here that, again, like for Kushner getting the highest medal possible, for negotiating the trade deal?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'm assuming that's, yeah.
I mean, really, that's
I thought it was the Lighthouser that did such a great job. You know, the trade negotiator. I thought he was the one that did the trade deal.
Well, but, I'm anxious now to see what comes out of this. I don't want to wish our life away, but I'm anxious to see what happens on the 21st. I really am. I'm anxious to see if Trump follows through. In a way, I hope he does, to see what happens then, because in a few weeks, the Democrats take over the House. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, we will see. And it won't be long away. If Trump backs down on this one, I do believe he's pretty much shot his wad then. I really do.
It really was good to see, though, President Trump standing up to Pelosi and Schumer.
It was.
That I have to, kudos to him. I only wish he would just have a little bit more firepower with numbers and so forth, that, you know, because it'd be so easy to shut them down if he just had those numbers that he can throw at them and so forth. But, you know, it was really nice to see him standing up to those.
It really was. That's the first time it's happened that I know of. In my lifetime, anybody's already done that. Trump has come back and do that. And I probably shouldn't say this as a pastor, but I'm going to say anyway, I'm just a mere mortal, I'm just a man. Have you ever met people that something about them just makes you not like them from the get-go almost? Their attitude, the way they look, the way they present themselves, or something that's just not conducive to...
Yes, of course.
Pelosi is one of those kind of people. There's something about her that that makes me kind of feel... uneasy inside. Same thing with Maxine Waters and some others, not just women, men also. I mean, really, there's something about those people that just makes me feel like there's evil there that I can't put my finger on necessarily, but it's there. And I've learned to trust my spirit in that. I really have. I've built people for over 40 years as a pastor, and I've been taken many different ways on trips, and I've learned some things the hard way. Now when the spirit tells me something to be cautious, I'm cautious. And she's one of the ones that makes my skin crawl. There's something about her I just don't trust to like.
There's a lot that make my skin crawl, and most of them I just think they're just nuts, evil nuts, whatever you want to. But
well, we will see soon.
Actually, they've all been there too long. They need to leave.
Yeah, there should be a limitation on that. At least 8 years max for House and 12 years for Senate. That should be the max, period. That's it. No more.
Yep.
But it don't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. And that's a problem. Yep. Career politicians have sucked us down the drain. You know that.
Absolutely. So, you know, their wages, their benefits, they should get the same benefits. What makes them so special? You know, it's not it shouldn't be a career. It's not supposed to be a career.
No, it's not supposed to be a career. I was reading the other day, somebody said that we no longer have a government. And I got to think about that. They're right. We don't have a government. We are living in occupied territory. They govern us all right, but they're not our government. They do as they please. They don't answer much anymore to the people, do they?
Not much. Nope.
No, they don't. So we are actually now their servants. If you don't believe me, try not to pay your taxes 1 year, even though it's unconstitutional and immoral. You try not to pay your taxes and see what happens. So, that we are living in enemy-occupied territory. Especially Christians who are now made fun of and belittled by, on every turn and laughed at and mocked for what they believe. Now, it's got to the point now the vegans, vegetarians, don't want you to say to bring home the bacon. It offends them. But so we're heading down a real fun road here.
You know what? I came across a great article. I'm going to have it posted in the newsletter next week. It's called Historic Debt is at the Core of Our Economic Decline. And I just wanted to sum up the last paragraph in this article. And it kind of ties in. I'm not going to talk about debt, but I mean, it talks about debt in itself is not necessarily just a tool to gain more wealth. It is also a tool to change and mold societies through financial leverage and disaster. And to understand who is creating any fiscal downturn and to understand who benefits from economic crisis, one only needs to consider who controls the debt. So, you know, I thought that was a pretty insightful. It's so true. It's true. You know, just look around who controls, and this is what they're doing. They're molding and they're changing our society.
I'm trying to find the quote that Jefferson made along the same lines that is so, okay, here it is. Jefferson said this: if the American people ever allowed private banks, and what is the Federal Reserve, Melody?
Corporation.
It's a private bank, right?
Private bank.
To control the issue of the currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks will deprive the people of all property until the children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power of currency should be taken from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. Jefferson said that. He must know what he's talking about.
Must have.
I mean, I think they've done it. They have robbed us blind through inflation, deflation, and fiat currency, taxation. They've taken it every way they can. Every time we have an inflation, your pay rate goes up, so do your taxes. So that means you actually gain no ground at all. If you can pay, lose ground. Tell me you pay the increased prices and taxation on top of that. This is what he warned about. They will end up owning your property. We don't own our home. People, please understand this. Mel and I talk, discuss this all the time. You do not own your home. I don't care if you work for 30 years. You got a deed in your hand. You don't bow down to the state and county once you're in pay your taxes. They will take your house and sell it at auction. And no pity there at all.
Nope.
Alexander the Great started that a long time ago. He said, I don't give people their land. They're going to pay me a tax on it once a year. They get to keep what they produce on it, so to speak. They're going to pay me for the use of the land. It caught on in America, and by golly, it's working very well.
Yeah,
people
it is.
Lose their homes all the time for lack of money and pay taxes.
I know. It's just like I see, you know, my aunt and uncle, they're elderly. And, you know, he's, you know, close to 90. Wow. And, you know, they're thinking about downsizing their home. But it's just like the only reason they're doing it is it's when you look at the, you know, the taxes, the, you know, it's just eating them. It's just eating them out of house and home.
And they go up about every year, a little bit everywhere.
They go up just a little, yeah.
Yeah, they do. We have one of the lowest land taxes, property taxes in the country. That's true. But ours is going up every year. I see it.
Yep.
I lived here all my life. I see it. In states like New Hampshire, you have to pay a view tax. VIEW, view tax, for the scene you see at your front room window. This is America.
Yes. And you know what's interesting? I was listening to Richard Haass. He's the president of the Council on Foreign Relations. He was on a program I was watching. I'm always interested in see what they say. And he was just, it's the first time, I've seen him several times, but lately, and today when I saw him, he was just ranting about the New World Order, of how it's breaking up, and that you're seeing this being done in Europe, you know, with everything that's happening in France and Italy and Greece and with Brexit. And it's like, you know, yeah, that's part of it, but it's also part of the socialist system. It's part of the system. It's all part of their design. That's their agenda. Now, they can blame it. They can blame it on the people. They can blame it on people like Trump. But, okay, we're heading into a break. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Back, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And heading into the break, I was mentioning about Richard Haass and his talk on the he's all upset and you know, about the New World Order that seems to be falling apart and everything like that. But I don't think it's, you know, is it by their design and they're just whining about it, or is it just a system? We all knew Europe couldn't succeed in the European Union, you know, working with the same currency. I mean, that was a test, and that test isn't, you know, is not being successful. But what was interesting, I also saw, and I don't know if this is true, but I also saw a quote by Pompeo, who said that with President Trump, they would be able to usher in a new a liberal world order. Now, I don't know if that's true, and I didn't have a chance to follow up on it because we got busy here, but that was from Pompeo.
Well, you know, the New World Order's motto is out of chaos order.
Yes.
Is chaos not increasing everywhere?
Everywhere.
I mean, in a little bit we'll get into what's going on in Australia and everywhere else. Economically, the whole world's collapsing. And I'm not making it up. This is a fact. The whole world is collapsing. Fiat currencies around the world, I don't care if it's Euro or independent nations, they're all collapsing. And it's come together. It looks to me like about the same pace in most areas. And so, yeah, out of chaos order. So people need to wise up. This is not happening by accident. The New World Order is not going down. They're causing just what they want to scare people back into their cages to be taken care of. And I'm glad to include you in France. The same thing. We'll get that in a minute.
This was actually from the... Well, there's a lot of this report. This is the first time I saw this. The one I'm reading from now is from The Guardian. And Trump is building a new liberal world order, says Pompeo. Donald Trump is building a new liberal order under U.S. leadership based on the principle of putting national sovereignty before multilateralism. Okay, but how does that make it a new liberal order?
Good question.
So, I don't know, but it's an interesting choice of words.
Well, I don't know.
And we've certainly seen, I mean, with the withdrawal, which I agree on. I don't know if I would have done it in the same manner, but I'm not the one that's sitting in the White House either. But I mean, certainly with the walking out on the nuclear deal with Iran and the TTP, you know, walking out of the Paris Climate Agreement. So I mean, these are, you know, all good things. You know, and there's a lot of other things. He has that treaty with Russia, 60 days.
Yep.
So
He set deadlines yeah. About everywhere, yes.
Yep.
Yep, he sure
Drawn
has.
Lines in the sand, so.
Well, let's hope he doesn't set traps and put his foot in them, if you know what
yes.
I mean.
But those are interesting choice of words from Pompeo.
It is. It really
he
is.
Says he says we are not abandoning international leadership.
What do you think about the now this is a natural news and this and I don't know what exactly meant with this, but according to this article, Natural News, prepare for President Trump to call upon American citizens to defend the Republic. Did you see that report?
I didn't have a chance to see that report.
It says, well, even though Robert Mueller is repeatedly indicting former Trump associates for lying to government, a process crime, James Comey just gave testimony to Congress in which he lied hundreds of times. Yet nothing has happened to James Comey yet. President Trump may soon be indicted for campaign finance violations and warn lawless Democrats. Yet Hillary Clinton pre-sold White House influence to foreign oligarchs for hundreds of millions of dollars on the assumption that Democrats has successfully stolen the 2016 election. And said, why are there no arrests for Clinton Foundation associates or Hillary Clinton herself? Good question. But Trump, on down the article, says he may have called upon Americans to defend the Republic. Now, I don't know what he means by that exactly. It didn't say necessarily to take up arms. I don't know, but what else could he mean? I don't know.
Well, you know, there's a lot of ways that, you know, doesn't necessarily mean to do that, but
what can you do? Write your congressman? Do they care what you say? Ride in the streets, maybe you get some attention, I guess. But as far as contacting congressmen and senators, I haven't seen much results of that in 70 years in this world.
No, but I don't want to, you know.
I mean, I don't want to say. I'm just asking a question. What does he mean by that?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I'm just curious.
I mean, but no, I'm again. I they said to prepare, and you know, so that's that's just his opinion, and I wouldn't.
No, I'm not saying anything in any direction, like I said, but I just kind of curious what he meant by that. You know,
well,
it is interesting.
No.
So, about we'll get a different topic here. You probably saw this. You know, Dick's Sporting Goods come out in favor of some gun control here, what, a year and a half ago? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
They're closing down 35 stores.
Yeah.
They lost some business, and I say, good, right?
Yep.
Right on the money. Good.
Absolutely.
They closed down 35 stores, and the gentleman that heads it up, I'm trying to find his name here very quickly, is not a happy camper. He's trying to put it on other reasons, but it be that as it may, they're shutting down 35 stores. And I feel no pity for him at all.
Not at all.
Fool with Dick's Sporting Goods much. I certainly won't go into him now at all. But apparently, I'm not the one that feels that way, and that's the way it should be.
Good. I hope they end up closing 70 stores.
How many?
70. I hope they double it, yes.
Yeah, me too. How many stores they got? You have any idea?
No, I don't.
I just want to miss 35 stores is a chunk of stores. So we'll see what happens to that. I mean, I'm tickled that the American people, the guys, people like you and I that believe that we have every duty and responsibility to own firearms, protection of ourselves and our families and our neighbors, stands up and says, you don't like what we're doing? We'll just put you out of business. Do something else. So,
well, it does go to show that there is power in the purse.
That's where most of the power lies. You know that.
Yes.
It truly, truly does. I mean, look what's happening in Paris right now. People are upset over taxes. We'll get that in a second, too. But I will make this point, too. I think it's interesting. You probably know this also, but North Dakota has passed Venezuela in oil output. North Dakota passed it. Imagine that. Venezuela has some of the largest crude oil reserves in the world. They put out 1.17 million barrels last month, and North Dakota put out 1.3 million barrels. Really, that's really a shame, the destruction of Venezuela and its oil industry. And for whatever reason, that is quite a fall from prosperity, is it not?
It certainly is.
I mean, my goodness. I mean, it's hard for us to grasp here in America so far. We're really blessed.
How
these people in Venezuela are existing. They're not really living as a whole. They're existing. It's hard for us to grasp that. You and I, so far in our lives, have never went to bed hungry unless we wanted to.
That's correct.
And we've always had a bed to go to.
That's correct.
So, you know, this kind of makes me sad for the people. It really does. It does make me feel sorry for them. I can't help it. I mean, these people, whether they were right or whether they were ignorant of taking a socialist government, that's true. But what's America doing right now? Same thing. But now they're really paying, big time paying. So I thought I'd bring that up. I thought it was interesting. North Dakota,
that is that is interesting. And you know, again, you know, Venezuela, they can't sell their oil. You know, then you know they just want to topple the you know regime change there, and they're doing everything possible to get him to step down. But hey, he's still there, and you know.
Well, how do you get him to step down? I mean, what would they do? Seriously, how would you do that? I mean, America's trying to get him out of there too, right?
Yep.
So it's amazing he's stuck that long. He must have some support somewhere to keep it going.
He has a good army.
He must have. How do you afford to feed them? How do you afford to feed them, you know?
Well, the wealthy never hurt. You know, those in power never hurt. They never go hungry. They don't have to eat the dogs on the street. You know, they still get their caviar and everything else they want. You know, it's just the people. We're just, you know, the nobodies.
Little peons.
But, yep. You know, Verizon Communications, they said yesterday that about 10,400 employees are going to be leaving the U.S. wireless carrier by mid-next year as part of their this always cracks me up, the company's voluntary separation program. You know, it just cracks me up. The New York-based company has been looking at cutting costs as it ramps up investment in the next generation 5G network. That is supposed to expected to fuel some growth. The company is on track to reach $10 billion in cumulative cash savings by 2021. So, yeah, I'm glad there's that trickle-down thing that keeps
there
working.
There you go, yeah. By the way, there's a lot of opposition to this 5G also. A lot of people tell them to take it out. They don't want it in their cities.
Yes. But you know what? These separation programs, I mean, I don't know why. They get 60 weeks. They get a salary up to 60 weeks. They get bonuses and benefits. I mean, it truly is amazing that they can offer all that for these early departures and still save billions and billions of dollars. You know, that is, but they do have 152,000 employees. So, you know, I guess 10,000 isn't a whole lot.
There's 10,000 people without work. I know what you're saying. The number-wise, not much, but if it's you, it's a lot, right?
It is, and you always have to remember the multiplier effect. You know, that's, you know, take 10,000 times 3 because you've got, you know, people quit shopping, they quit eating, you got the lunch shops, you get the gas station, you know, so it affects a lot of people. And so, you know, we always multiply it by 3. That's how many jobs that it's actually affecting.
And different topic, but along the same lines, you know, Walmart has putting robots in the stores to clean the stores. You know that, right?
To clean the stores?
Mm-hmm. They're putting robots in to clean the aisles and clean the stores. The way with the people do that. Yeah, they are. And now they're testing a robot fry cook named Flippy at their store in Bentonville, Arkansas. They're going to put in a cook in the restaurant.
I've heard of Flippy before.
That Flippy's also been used in Caliburger franchises in Pasadena. But it's now going to be doing an experiment in Walmart's headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas, to see if it's going to fit in the stores or not and do the job you want. So, you know, how many college students, including my grandchildren and my sons, work the fast food to help pay their way through school?
Mm-hmm.
Flippy may take a lot of jobs. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And if they only need people clean the stores up, then like Walmart's going to use robots. Young folks could be looking for different kinds of jobs because they won't be available in fast food any longer. I mean, this isn't imminent, this isn't tomorrow, but the idea that they're doing it, that kind of makes me kind of concerned that they're doing it, and that as much be working, or they won't be doing it in the stores across country with the robots cleaning the aisles up. It's just interesting.
This weekend, I was traveling to Pennsylvania to visit my aunt and uncle, and coming back, I was listening to this talk host, and he was talking about technology in the real estate market. And this is one sector that I really hadn't thought much about. You know, we think of restaurants, we think of grocery stores, we think of Walmart, we think of Amazon, we think of manufacturing, you know, the lines and so forth, where technology is really going to play a part. And he was talking about real estate. the devastating impact that technology is going to have on real estate. Now, you think, well, gee, how's that going to happen? There's not going to computers will replace mortgage servicers, you know, those who take your applications that process everything. He was also talking about inspections of your home will be done all by computers. And I'm talking, it was a significant percentage of decrease of jobs that will be lost in the real estate market. And I was shocked.
Well, that's probably because a family member that our family, it will say is kind of high up in the banking industry. And I was told by this person that soon you might have two or three tellers in the bank, I mean, two or three personnel in the bank, and that's all. Mm-hmm. The rest will be done by computers.
Right. Yeah, well, we've talked about banks and everything. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's that's what the ATFs or whatever they're called. I don't use them, so that's why I never know what they are.
Well, computers are going to be doing a lot of work that people used to do. You know, one thing about computer, you can't reason with them. They're almost like females. Yeah, but no.
Hey!
I'm sorry, I had to say that.
Hey,
but anyway,
I know you did. Boy, oh boy!
But anyway,
I'm gonna get Pelosi after you.
Oh my gosh! I heard Maxine Waters scared me to death. I'd have to leave. But you know, the point of it is, it's you can't reason with them. You know, you remember that personal banking you used to have years ago? I remember back when I just was married. If I wanted to trade cars, if I found a car I wanted, I'd call the bank, tell them I was doing. They say, you write the check, we'll cover it, come in tomorrow and fill the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't do it anymore. You got to go through approval and credit background. I don't care if bank with them for 30 years. You go through credit background checks and you base your interest rates on your credit score. And on and on, the personal touch is all but gone, and computers will take it all out. There'll be no personal touch.
There'll be none.
So there you go. Yeah. That is kind of scary.
It is.
You probably saw with the IMF warns storm clouds are gathering for next financial crisis. Have you seen that article?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
The IMF is warning. Imagine that. A guy named David Lipton, the first deputy manager and director of IMF, said crisis prevention is incomplete more than a decade on from the last meltdown in global banking system. As we have put it, fix the roof while the sun shines. But like many of you, I see storm clouds building and fear the work on crisis prevention is incomplete. We have to be concerned about the potency of monetary policy, he said. The ability of the U.S. Federal Reserve and other central banks, now he calls it a bank, just like it's a bank, other central banks to cut interest rates to boost the economy in the event of another downturn. So even the IMF heads are concerned about a financial downturn, and they're part of the problem. They're a huge part of the problem.
Well, you know, last night, the former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen, she gave a speech last night, and prior to her leaving the Federal Reserve, she had said that, we're not going to have another financial crisis for, forever. And I'll finish this story when we come back from our break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Just one more time. Tell me again. Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is
food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. We have too much fun on those breaks, Butch.
I know that, but you know, doing this program is, I enjoy the broadcast. The time goes by so quickly. We cover a lot of important stuff, but we laugh while we're doing it. You know, that's what makes life bearable, is a little bit of laughter. The Bible says a merry heart works good like a medicine. So why not laugh a little bit? The world is falling apart, there's no doubt about it, and we're very serious about that, trying to get people to prepare themselves. But why not laugh a little bit, Melody? I mean, we're together, and if we're brothers and sisters in Christ and love each other, enjoy each other's company, right?
Absolutely.
If we don't, it's our own fault, because life's going by. Whether you're
so
enjoying
fast.
This moment or not, it's going by very quickly anyway.
It is. It is.
So try to enjoy it best you can.
Well, former Federal Reserve Chair, now I said that she was and told an audience last night that she, and this prior to her leaving, she says, oh, there's never going to be another financial crisis. All the, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's all protected. It's all fixed. Everything was fixed. But now she fears that there could be another financial crisis because banking regulators have seen their authority reduced to address panics and because of the current push to deregulate. She says she thinks that the system has improved, but she thinks there are gigantic holes in the system. The tools that are available to deal with emerging problems are not great in the United States. Well, the only tools that are available is debt. You know, so you can't borrow, you get to the point where you just can't borrow anymore. She cited leveraged loans as an area of concern, something also mentioned by the current Fed leadership. She said regulators can only address such problems as individual banks, not throughout the financial system. And, excuse me, she goes on and on talking about the problems with the debt and that there's these holes in the system. And it's just not here in the United States, it's global. We are a global system, whether you like it or not, or whether you want to admit it or not. And, you know, the system, I think, needs, in their mind, in the elite's mind, in the New World Order mind, I think they want to finish that connection. And, you know, I don't know if it's our president. I'm sure he has some part to play, but I don't know if it's China. You know, where does China play into, you know, the New World Order? You know, even Russia in today's world. You know, so I think they have lost a little bit of control, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to come in and wipe everything away that you've worked so hard for.
I think it's probably going to happen because that's...
Yes.
I hope we're wrong on this, but they're going to have to do something to get back in control and get some monies back in within reason again. Like you said many times, why don't they just take the retirement accounts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, trillions of dollars laying in there. Why don't they just use it? And that could be a view
what
happened.
So that's what they're going to do. They're going to have to do something. You know, we've seen, you know, interest rates spike, which means servicing the debt, you know, more expensive.
Well, you know, when you see a nation like France and the riots are there now, And what they were rioting about, of course, supposedly to start with, was the gas tax. A lot more to them than that, for sure, because they're still rioting. I know he's back to, Macron's back down on that. Now he's trying to bribe the people. Now, you say what you want, it's bribing. Hey, if you quit rioting, we'll cut your taxes, we'll give you all bonuses. How are they going to do that? They're in debt like every other nation. How are they going to put money to give everybody in the country bonuses if they have to quit rioting? And is that not buying them off, Melody? Is that the same thing as bribing a child? You quit crying, I'll give you a candy bar. It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
You know, so how they going to afford to do that? Can't afford to pay the bills now. And you know, Trump's tax cut, and hooray for a few dollars more in your pocket, but it put us further in debt. They can't do that very long. And now, of course, with the Brexit chaos, you know, in the United Kingdom, what I'm reading now is they said they're just going to do away with it. They're not even going to talk about it anymore. They're just going to do away with it. But can they do that? Will the people allow that over there?
Well, it's, as far as my, you know, and you know, I'm going to be talking about this with James Corbett tomorrow evening. We're going to talk about Brexit and so forth. But I mean, that's their process. That's how they do things over there. Even though the people that voted in order to exit from the European Union, they have to, you know, it's like starting from scratch. And because it is so interconnected and so forth, and you know, businesses are leaving England. You know, they're beginning to feel the impact, but so I don't know, you know, the politics so much of England, but
well. I don't either, but I do know the traders are say it's a horrible mess talking about the British pound. They don't buy me more.
Yeah.
This is while a pound may recover some of its losses in the long run, Ensemble Capital is one fund that will watch from the sidelines and refuse to trade the currency due to ongoing uncertainty over Brexit. And Damien Lowe, the chief investment officer of the Singapore-based hedge fund, that's what he said. Okay, I'm staying out of it. It is basically like trying to pick a roller coaster as your commuter, says Lowe, who oversees an artificial intelligence-driven hedge fund that he jointly set up with former J.P. Morgan Chase and company, an FX option trader, and another guy named Austin Ogaki, whatever, I can't pronounce that right, but he said, we're not even going to do a deal with the British pound. Now, is the British pound more unstable than the American dollar right now? I mean, I'm asking a serious question. Is it? I mean, the American dollar has been as volatile as a rag soaking kerosene. I mean, what's the point? I don't catch. Is the British pound really that bad off right now?
Well, I mean, it has lost a lot of value and percentage-wise. You know, it has dropped a bit. All countries manipulate their currencies, you know. I don't think it's in free fall. I don't think the pound is in free fall. But, I mean, I don't see it as a, you know, something to be, that it's going to change the world's finance and create some sort of, you know, global, you know, depression. No, that's not going to happen. You know, well, it's...
How many currencies are in the world? I mean, you know, how many currencies in the world have we seen collapse to nothing? Venezuela, of course, is an example. And other nations, the inflation, there is no money there. There's no money anywhere, but there's really nothing there of value at all. They can print all they want of it. It's just paper, and it's not you know. It's no good. Are other currencies around the world going the same way?
Well, sure. The stronger, you know, because it's trade. We have the basket of currencies, and of course, our dollar gets stronger. The others are getting weaker. But and you know the currency markets are the biggest markets in the world. So it's, you know, very easy to manipulate these currencies and so forth. So, but I don't see England going by the same path as Venezuela or Zimbabwe or anything like that. But it could definitely have an impact because, you know, lower currencies, when your currency loses value, it takes more of those to buy items. So things are going to get more expensive for the Englanders, for London and, you know, for the UK.
Well,
so
the unrest is building in England also. You probably saw this too in the Daily Mail. And this is, I believe, part of the article said, how did he get in so easy? He's talking about a fresh tear fears at Westminster as bands shouting, "We're coming for you, politicians," breaches Parliament's gate before he is tasered into the floor just yards from where PC Keith Palmer was killed. Scotland Yard says a man came in through the gates on the New Palace Yard. The incident will raise further concerns about security around the Parliament. So this man charged, like in the Congress here, and said, "We're coming for you, politicians."
Well, what you see in France is contagious.
Oh yes,
and I do know that they're, you know, concerned that it's going to start picking up in these other countries, even coming back to the United States. So, you know, when you hear people writing articles and saying that Trump is going to ask, yeah, I have problems with that, to call on the American people, to defend the Republic, yeah, I have problems with that. Certainly there is, there was just a shooting again in front at a Christmas market. 2 dead, 11 wounded. And at a Christmas market in the city of Strasbourg. Strasbourg is one of the cities I've always wanted to visit. But it's people are hurting. People don't have the money.
And they're
people
angry.
Can't do anything.
They're angry.
And it makes you angry. It will make you angry.
And you know, all it takes sometimes is a spark. To set a roaring blaze out. Up. It's all it takes. The right person or the right group of people, for the right reason, lose it. It could cause it a domino effect that would affect a whole America, a whole country. It could actually cause another civil war. And I'm not making this up. This could really happen. And with the polarization of all different ins and outs of this country, I don't care, you know, whatever it may be, race or finances, whatever, it's a tinderbox, and a little spark can get it started. It's smoldering right now. You know it is. Not just here, but around the world. It's smoldering right now. There is a little bit of smoke coming out of these things. There's a little bit of warning that people are getting tired of it. Whether they're right or they're wrong, they're getting mad enough in Paris to riot. And Paris wasn't known to be such a terrible place to live as far as violence, but it's changed. And it can happen anywhere. So whatever sparked that over there, whatever combination of it was, it's made a mess of some things, and it could happen anywhere in this world right now. It's molding right now in Britain. It's molding in the U.S., and it won't take a lot for this to just blow up in everybody's faces.
Well, I think there's so many reasons that people really have had it soft. I mean, you can retire in France at, 40? And that might be an exaggeration. But, I mean, you know, they've had it soft. These socialist nations have given the people no reason to work. They don't have to work. They get all these handouts, and it all comes back with higher and higher taxes. They have this immigration. Immigration was open among those nations. If you lived in France, you could go to Italy. You didn't need a passport. You know, you had the same currency and so forth. These programs don't work.
Obviously
and then
not.
It gets to the and it makes prices more expensive. Well, yeah, and people lash out, but yet they still don't understand the underlying reason for all of this that is happening to them.
Well, you know, if you give people something for nothing for too long, they begin to think that they have it coming to them no matter what.
They have it coming to them.
Yeah, it's their right to have it.
They get mad at anybody who they think is messing it up for them.
Absolutely. It's like trying to take a pacifier from a baby. You know, I mean, I want that. It's mine. You know, and that's the way it is. And when you feed people, give them everything for nothing for so long, they actually begin to think it's their right to have it, and they don't have to work for it. And that's what we developed even in this country here. It's too late to cut out welfare here. I mean, they can cut it off. Can you imagine a riot in the streets, Millie, if they cut out food stamps and welfare checks? Can you imagine what would happen?
Well, exactly what happened in Greece, exactly what happens in France, exactly what happens in all of these countries where we've seen riots.
You know, a different country now, you probably saw this too, but prepare for severe housing collapse and banking crisis. just weeks after we noted that Australia's household debt to income ratio has ballooned to shocking levels over the past three decades, as Sydney is ranked as one of the most overvalued cities in the world, Australia's regulators have been warned to prepare contingency plans for a severe collapse in the housing market that could lead to a crisis situation in one or more financial institutions. So see, I keep saying this. This isn't plaguing us. It's plaguing Europe. It's plaguing France. It's plaguing Australia. It's a whole world of fiat currency. And it's collapsing now. Everything's being built on debt. It's collapsing. It has to collapse. Debt cannot pay off anything.
No. In fact, Australia's economy is one of the most at risk in the developed world. Household debt. And as you mentioned, weak housing prices, tax changes that curbs any type of investments. So how do they change it? How do they turn it around?
Well, it's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. But then you go back to sound monetary fund again and start over. And I know it sounds harsh, but that's what we're going to have to do. And it's going to hurt like you know what when it happens. But there's no other way to do it. You just can't keep printing money and get more money out of people and say, here, like Macron wants to do, hey, we're going to give you a bonus and cut your taxes and print more money. No, that doesn't work. It makes it worse a few years down the road than it is right now. Eventually, it's going to totally collapse, and then it's going to be a mess because people are going to be so upset that they lost all their goodies and it's all fell apart on them, and it's going to lead to bloodshed. It's going to happen in America. I'm afraid one day if something doesn't turn around very quickly, it's going to happen.
But you know, you have other countries that have record debt buildups. You have Canada, New Zealand, Sweden, Switzerland, Australia, as you mentioned, as we were talking about. Sure, you know, maybe the European countries, maybe we've cut somewhat. Government didn't. Corporate debt is ballooning. But
They're not going to change the governments. They're not going to change corporate debt. They have to take care of themselves.
Absolutely,
personal responsibility. Personal responsibility. If they don't do it, it is their own fault.
Yep, you got it. And we're out of time, Butch.
I know that. Last hour.
Yes, it was. Ladies and gentlemen, give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I'll be back tomorrow with Wendy Wilson and Dave Allen. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.